Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
As we love to tell you, it is a wonderful privilege to have you in our listening audience today for Words of Grace radio broadcast. We love to hear from those that listen to this program either on the internet in the form of a podcast or those who listen actually over the radio waves each and every weekend. If you haven't gotten in contact with us in a while, you can go to the website for Flint River Primitive Baptist Church, flintriverpbc.org, and find a variety of ways to contact us. If you don't have internet and you don't communicate online, we know that's the case with some folks, you can address a letter to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. That address will be given again at the close of today's broadcast. Today on Words of Grace, we're going to share part two of a message that is entitled A Word of Comfort from John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God to preach. I often tell people that I don't have necessarily a favorite Bible verse. I have many favorite Bible verses, but if I had one last sermon to ever deliver to God's people, and I knew that it was going to be my final sermon, I would probably select John chapter 6 and verse 37 as my text, because it's such a comforting, powerful statement of God's sovereignty and salvation and the certainty of salvation for the elect of God, the people that God the Father gave to the Son before the foundation of the world to save them, that it's just exciting to speak about. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In John chapter 6, we learn some amazing things concerning God's sovereign grace. God the Father gave people to the Lord Jesus, and he sent his Son into the world to die for those people. Jesus came into the world to die for them, to do the will of the Father, and to make an offering for them upon the cross of Calvary. We learn some things in John chapter 6 about total depravity. Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day." And we learn what it means to be drawn to him, to be taught of him, to have his laws written upon your heart and your mind and your inward parts, as it were. Anyone who loves the doctrines of grace is excited any time they get to speak from John chapter 6. And so we hope you enjoy part two of this message, A Word of Comfort from John chapter 6.
So then they ask him again, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" What sign? Well, let's see. Yesterday, there were 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes that fed thousands of people. Baskets that continually are replenished through the power of God, the miracle working of the Lord Jesus. If you saw that happen, would you sit and think, "Well, you know, I really need more. I really need more from you, Jesus, to believe. What are you thinking, man?" No, you would see that as someone who loves the Lord, and you'd be like, "What other man can do such things that has the power of God in him so that he can feed thousands with such little as those baskets full of fragments?" There are so many metaphors that you could take out of that and pictures that you could paint. The gospel ministry, the little bit that we have, God takes from the basket and he divides it, he multiplies it, and he feeds his children so mightily from such little substance to begin with. They say, "Show us a sign." Show you a sign? What more do you need? Again, these are the people who wanted to take him by force and make him king. This demonstrates the fickle nature of humanity. And this is where Jesus points out to them that what he said was actually, obviously, true. "What sign will you show? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. In other words, they're back because they want the food. Show us a sign and we'll believe. Feed me again. Basically, it's what they're saying. Now, remember, Jesus started all of this by saying, you don't seek me because you saw miracles. You seek me because you want to eat. And they say, well, prove it with a miracle and feed us. Sounds like the reasoning of a spoiled kindergartner, doesn't it? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread. Moses didn't give you that bread. He's referring to the manna in the wilderness. As the children of Israel wander in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan's land, they're hungry. They're in the wilderness of sin. The word there, sin, the root for Sinai, doesn't mean sin as in depravity, as we mean sin. It's a different word. It's a place name. They wander. There's no water. And so God gives them water from a rock. There's no food. So God causes it to rain angels' food, bread, each and every day except the Sabbath. And the day before the Sabbath, they gather enough for the next day. Any other day, if they gathered more than they needed, it would rot and stink and grow worms. God teaching them reliance on His providence, and number two, the importance of the Sabbath. But Jesus said, Moses didn't give you that bread. God the Father gave you that bread. My Father in heaven gave you that bread. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. What is the true bread of heaven, you might wonder? For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. In other words, well, in that case, we want to eat that. That sounds really good. But you see, they're still missing the point. It's not about the food. It's about something that gives nourishment and sustenance in a spiritual sense. What it is that Christ gives us. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus says unto them, I am the bread of life. Truth be told, a lot of these people did not want the actual bread of life. They had no interest in Christ for who Christ was. They simply wanted a meal. Now, we could be hard on them, but if you were starving in your human nature, would you be any different? People get hit by a natural disaster and there's no electricity, there's no government aid immediately after. What's one of the first things that begins to take place? Looting. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Does Jesus mean to say that you'll never be hungry? He doesn't mean to say that you'll never experience hunger. Paul said, I'm of fastings often. Not merely that he at times fasted as a spiritual endeavor. Oh, he did that. But in fastings often meant that there were many times in Paul's ministry that he simply didn't have anything to eat because he spent his life preaching the gospel, traveling with no home, no belongings, no possessions, no family. And when he was traveling and was not preaching the gospel with people, staying with them, enjoying life in their home, many times he had nothing. And he was hungry, imprisoned, enslaved by the state for the preaching of the gospel. But I guarantee you, as the Apostle Paul sat in jail, hungry and dirty, malnourished and afflicted, that his soul was fed through Christ. You find occurrences of the Apostle Paul in jail in the book of Acts, and as he is imprisoned, while he's not lamenting his situation, but at midnight he's singing praises to God. You see, though his body were hungry and sore and shackled, his soul was full of joy through Christ. That's what this is all about. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. What does it mean to come unto Him, and how do we believe on Him? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But those people will never hunger. Those people will never thirst. I say unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. There's something that Jesus gives us that we find nourishment in. Now, to summarize everything that we just read, the points of Christ, his point here, first of all, isn't to convey salvation by works. When he talks about laboring for the meat which perisheth not, we know that Jesus taught salvation by grace, and in just a moment he would. But his point is that he is better than the bread that he fed them with, and even better than the bread that Moses gave in the wilderness. Also, as he speaks about himself as the bread of life, as Jesus told them, if they partake of the bread that Jesus gives, they shall never perish. Meaning that if you partake of Christ, you shall never die. You'll never die. God is the God of the what?
Living.
The living. Thank you. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many times do we hear those words? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the New Testament, when Jesus taught on that phrase, do you know how he explained it? God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Therefore, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are what? They're living. If you partake of Christ, you shall never die. Now, how do we partake of Christ? Well, in a minute, he'll explain. But as we think about the bread of life, those that partake of the bread of life never perish, but they live forever. Partake of Christ and you live forever. Does that mean that there's somewhere in a cave in the Middle East where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are hiding out till the second coming? No, their bodies are dead, but their souls live today. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. At death, we are with him. But at the same time, like the manna, we partake of him each and every day, and each and every day we find sustenance for our souls. I trust that you're partaking of Christ right now. As we hear the gospel, as we are baptized, as we take of communion, as we read his word, as we sing to him, as we pray to him, as we fellowship with him and commune with him, we partake of him. And as we partake of him, our souls are nourished, our hearts are strengthened. Each and every day we find sustenance for our souls and we find strength to carry on another day. If you're exhausted in this world, after a year and a half of life in this world, you know, it was a joke, 2020, but 2020 kept on. It just keeps going. It's like the Energizer Bunny, the gift that keeps on giving, but it's not a good gift. Welcome to planet Earth. Do you feel yourself exhausted and hungry and starving, confused and discouraged and burned out? Come take the bread of life over and over and over and find strength and nourishment for your soul. All right. Verse 37. In response to this mixed multitude, now please understand, in a mixed multitude, when Jesus goes about preaching publicly, there are always three types of people. And we find this so many times. There are those who are with him that are his disciples that follow him everywhere he goes. They do the miracles that he commands them to do. They are his informed disciples like Peter and James and John and Andrew, the apostles, or the women, Mary and Martha and the other Mary. There are those that believe on him but are not yet committed to him. Jesus addresses them in John chapter 8. To continue in his word, and they'll be his disciples indeed, and know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. But then there are those who don't know him, and they merely follow him because it's popular, or for a political reason, or a pragmatic, selfish reason. And so many times when he begins teaching the reality of who he is, you see this in John chapter 8, John chapter 10, they murmur, they scoff, they argue, they're offended. And if Jesus says enough about who he is before the end of the conversation, they take up stones to stone him. Because they are, as he said to them in John 8, of their father, the devil. I've been reading through the early life of David recently, and throughout 1 and 2 Samuel, we find this phrase over and over and over, sons of Belial, sons of Belial. There were many in Jesus' day who were sons of Belial, that is to say, of their father, the devil. And such is it here. You have all three types of people every time Jesus engages in public ministry. It's a given. Jesus speaks to them, addressing the difference in people. Now, why are there people in this world that lament over their sins and there are people that relish in their sins? What a mystery is that? Well, Jesus explains it. Why are there people that lament over their sins even to weeping and fear? And if Christ were in the room, would kick the door in to come and to wash his feet with tears. While at the same time, there are people that would kick the door open to come in, drag him out and stone him because they hate him. Why is that difference in people? Verse 37. You see, what is a word of comfort to us is also a word of clarification on the different types of people in the world. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now listen as we break down this verse, and we find the doctrines of grace contained therein. First of all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. People were given to Christ. When were they given to Christ? Ephesians chapter 1. According as he, the Father, hath chosen us in him, the Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God the Father chose people in Christ before the creation of the universe, gave those people to his Son to save, and these people will be with him in glory. The first statement of John 6:37 is a statement of election, that God the Father gave people to God the Son. Second, they shall come to him is a statement of regeneration. Every single one that God the Father gave to God the Son shall be drawn, and that word drawn we'll consider in a moment, into a vital relationship with Christ in him as a new creature in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. They are drawn into him is why they come to him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those who are in Christ are secure, teaching another doctrine in the doctrines of grace, the preservation of the saints. Now, an unspoken principle all through this statement is another of the doctrines of grace, redemption through Christ alone. Because for them to be drawn into him and never cast out, Jesus had to what? Give his life for them. And so in the following statements, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. God the Son was with the Father in glory before the creation of the universe. He had glory with the Father before the creation of the world. John 17, 1 through 3. God did not create the Son in the sense that the Son did not exist before his incarnation. The Son is not the first thing the Father created, as the Arians taught the heretics in the early centuries of the church. But God the Son was with the Father as his eternal Son for all of eternity. This relationship of Father and Son is present between the first two persons of the Godhead throughout eternity. Eternally God the Father, eternally God the Son, eternally God the Holy Spirit. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And yet this one God is three persons. Christ came from heaven. Now in a mystery, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, no man ascends to heaven, no one ascends to heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even he who is with the Father in heaven. What do you mean? He descended, would ascend, and yet was with the Father in heaven? Yes. How can that be? Because he is God. Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. How can you explain the incarnation of God as a man? Well, you can't. But you can believe it, you can embrace it, you can rejoice in it, and you can rest in it. I came down from heaven. God Himself came to earth, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I came down from heaven not to do what I wanted to do, but I came with a mission, a purpose given to me by my Father in heaven. This brings redemption into the message. You had election, the Father giving people to the Son. You have preservation, those people never being cast out. You have regeneration, people coming to Him. And here you have redemption. He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of the Father which sent Him. And that was to die upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of God's people. This is the Father's will which has sent me. You listen carefully. That of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. If you're a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about what happens to you when you leave this world. You are secure in Christ. He will lose nothing. He is successful. He is victorious. Isaiah says by way of prophecy, He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait on His law. Christ is a successful Savior. No man can pluck His children out of His hand. No man is greater than his father. His Father gave those people to Him, and no man can pluck them out of His Father's hand. And He and His Father are one, from John 10. Now you might be wondering, well, that's great, but how do I know if I'm one of these people? How do I know if I'm one of these people that was given to the Son by the Father before the foundation of the world? Look at verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, listen to me. There are people that say, well, you know, you really can't know if you belong to God. No, you know that you will be with Him in glory if you believe. You know. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you really don't know. You know. 1 John, the same writer, over and over, you know. If you believe in Jesus, if you love Him, if you fear Him, if you honor Him, if you want to love Him more, if you yearn Him, you will be with Him in glory. Because you wouldn't believe unless you were drawn into Him. And He will raise you up again at the last day. You know, belief is a product of birth. Again, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Look at the tenses in that statement. If you hear and believe, it's because you already are passed from death unto life. Birth enables belief. Regeneration precedes faith. And when you believe and you hear and you receive the Word and you love Him and you care, what that does is it brings the life and immortality that He has given you to light. Where do you get that? 2 Timothy 1:10. Christ has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Every single time a person receives the message of the gospel, we have identified another brother or sister in Christ. Now, we live in a world full of people of so many different religions that place so many different requirements. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. Let me just tell you, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. Now, when these people hear this, they murmur. They complained. This is neither the first nor the last time that people would complain after hearing a sermon. You know, as I say, some things will never change. They murmured because He said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They missed the point. Jesus says, murmur not among yourselves. Listen to this. This interjects another doctrine of grace. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. None can come except they're drawn. The word draw literally means to drag. Have you ever seen someone draw a fish out of an aquarium with a net and the fish is dead? You ever done that, parents? You get the goldfish that they're giving away at some store opening and you take it home and 2 days later the goldfish is dead. So you tell your children that you released it into the wild and what really happened is it's now in the sewer system. That happened every time we got a goldfish as a kid. Eventually, I got creek water, put it in the same aquarium, and put crawfish in it. And the crawfish lived. You draw the dead fish out of the water by no power of its own. You draw water out of a well by no power of its own. We are drawn from death in sin to life in Christ by no power of our own. We are drawn by God into His Son, alive in Christ, living in Him, made partakers of the bread of life. Jesus explains what this means. It is written in the prophets, that would be the book of Isaiah, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What does it mean to come unto Him? You have been taught by God the Father to know God the Son. In Isaiah, it doesn't just say they, it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. All God's children shall be taught to know Him. Every covenant child, they'll all know Him. Guess what Hebrews 8 says? From the least to the greatest. Have you ever seen a tragedy where a young person loses their life in this world, or maybe a pregnancy ends before it's time, and you wonder, what of those little ones? From the least to the greatest. God will have all of His children with Him in glory without the loss of one. Now, these people go away and they're offended, and that happens a lot. Jesus looks at the disciples and He asks the question, will ye also go away? We'll close with a simple reading of Peter's words, and I hope this is the yearning of your heart this morning. Will you also go away? Church, in a generation where people in masses are leaving Christianity, are leaving doctrinal orthodoxy, faithfulness, church attendance, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.